Okay, good morning. So yesterday you heard Dr. Shankar talking about the ablative method of treatment, either cryotherapy or cold coagulation. But then the ablative method of treatment has a limitation. What is that? That you cannot do it on all the cases. In fact, there are certain selection criteria. And before that, what I'll tell you is, what's the principle of treating CID? It's just what we do for treating any neoplasia. What we do for treating any tumor. So we make sure that the tumor is removed with a little bit of safety margin, just so that we don't leave behind any tumor. The same thing is applicable here. If you look at this picture, when we do colposcopy and see a case of CIN, we actually see two extents of the disease. One is outer extent, which is visible, we can see. Inner extent may or may not be visible. But then, there is another extent of the disease that we keep forgetting. That is the depth of the tumor. Now, here we are talking about benign disease, precancerous disease, which does not breach the basement membrane. Then obviously the question comes, why is there a depth? How can there be a depth of a lesion which does not breach the basement membrane? It is because of the crypts. And yesterday you heard that on an average, the depth of a crypt is 5 to 6 millimeter. So the CINs, especially the high-grade CINs, they tend to go inside the crypt. So unless you have treated the crypt, unless you have removed or ablated the crypt fully, there will be residual disease and recurrence. So that is why when we say cold coagulation, when we say cryotherapy, it always treats up to the depth of at least 7 to 8 millimeter. And here also when we excise, when we are cutting out the lesion, we'll have to make sure that not only we make a little bit of margin here, not only we make a little bit of margin this side, also we'll have to leave a bit of normal margin that side also. So that is why the minimum depth you'll have to excise is somewhere around 8 millimeter. So that we'll have to keep in mind. And again, now the concept of transformation zone type comes. Now if something is like that, this is maybe type 1 transformation zone. The squamocolumnar junction is fully visible. So here I don't have to go for a very deep cone. I'll just excise this amount of about 8 millimeter of the total depth and take a 10 centimeter loop and cut it across. But if the lesion is like this, this is obviously a type 3 transformation zone. The whole thing is going inside. So here I'll have to go for a really deep cone. 15 millimeter or maybe even more than that. So that's why we always grade this type 1, type 2, type 3. Because that helps us to decide on the treatment. If I know it's a type 1 CIN, so I'll think about ablative treatment or maybe I don't have to go for a very deep conization. So that's important. Now if you look at this picture. Now, whenever we are, why are we keep on talking about the transformation zone? Because whenever we treat, we just don't treat the lesion which is visible. We have to treat the entire transformation zone. Say for example this case, the lesion is here, okay? I could just excise this part. The problem will be that the whole transformation zone is now kind of have the potential to develop CIN. So if I remove only this part, there will be disease recurrence in the leftover transformation zone. So what we need to do is, we'll have to identify the extent of the transformation zone and make sure that we excise or ablate the whole of transformation zone. That's why the excisional treatment, which is most popular, that is called loop electrosurgical excision of transformation zone. It is not that, it's not that it is just treating the lesion. So this is clear. The treatment is has to be for the transformation zone and not for the lesion only. And for loop excision, what we do is, we take an ordinary diathermy machine. We don't have to have a special diathermy machine. Just the ordinary electrosurgical excision unit we use in the operation theater, that will do. What we need is a hand switch. A hand switch in which you can put these electrodes. So these electrodes, these are the loops. And these loops, they have two different dimensions. One dimension is the radius of the loop, which decides what will be the depth of cutting. So if my depth of cutting is somewhere around, a required depth of cutting is say 12 millimeter, I'll choose a 15 millimeter deep loop. So this decides how much depth it will cut. And this is the shoulder of the loop. Shoulder of the loop decides how much area I can cut. So if I have a large area to cut, I'll take a loop which has a broad shoulder. So that way we decide. Sometimes we can take a biopsy with a loop. We can go for this small loops. So depending on the size of the lesion, how much we want to excise, you choose the right kind of loop. Then we have the ball diathermy. Ball diathermy is to coagulate the base. We have done a cutting, there is some amount of oozing, but then with the ball we can always take care of the bleeding. And this is the insulated speculum. When we go for the practicals, I will show, insulation is not mandatory, because when we actually do that, they say there is very little chance of touching the speculum. But then what is essential is this. This is called smoke extraction channel. Whenever we do any kind of coagulative surgery, or even those who have seen laparoscopic surgery being done, there is always generation of smoke. You have to take that smoke out, otherwise you will not be able to see. So you connect this to a suction machine. So that's why this is the smoke extraction channel. That is necessary to have when we do loop excision. So this is essentially the things you need. So when do we do loop excision? Same indications as for ablative therapy in precancer management, only when those selection criteria are not suiting for ablative method. Look at this picture. Can anybody tell why this case cannot be treated by cryotherapy or cold coagulation? Yes, number one, it's extensive lesion. Yes, it is going into the all four quadrants of the cervix. So if it's a lesion which is extending to all four quadrants of cervix, these are the lesions which preferably not be treated by ablative method, because it is covering more than 75% of the transformation zone. Number one. Number two? It's going inside. Yes. It is not a purely ectocervical lesion. The part of the lesion is going inside. So obviously if you treat it with the ablative method, there will be failure. Number three? Heard any other point? The columnar epithelium is not the issue. The issue here is, it's a large lesion with it's a complex lesion. There are dense acetoid lesions, surface has become irregular, so there is every suspicion of the invasive disease. So whenever the disease is extensive, which is covering more than 75% of the transformation zone, whenever there is extension of the disease in the endocervical canal, whenever there is any suspicion of invasive disease or glandular disease, don't treat that case with ablative method, treat that case with loop excision. So that's simple. So that's why we choose this case for loop excision. Now, loop excision, we do most of the cases can be done under local anesthesia. You don't have to give general anesthesia, don't have to admit the patient. So, what we do is take 2% xylocaine, 5 ml, and dilute that with another 5 ml of distilled water. So, you have 1% xylocaine. It will be good if you can have the xylocaine with adrenaline. So, that reduces the bleeding.
So take 10 ml of 1% xylocaine with adrenaline. And then infiltrate the cervix directly onto the cervix. No paracervical block is necessary. I'll show you. So it's just like ring block. So if you have the lesion like this, so go on putting your injection just below the cervical epithelium all around. So you put one here, one here, one here. Only avoid the 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock position. Because sometimes there you may see a bleeding vessel there. So excepting those two areas, you can go all around and make sure you infiltrate well. So that has two advantages. There will be good amount of anesthesia, patient will be cooperating, and thus also with infiltration, the cervix swells up. So it becomes easy to do the loop excision. So, and then once you have done the infiltration, wait for some time. Because the local has to work there. And that is the time when you select your loop. So you have the choice of loops. You can pick up the right loop. Set up your diathermy machine. Every diathermy machine is different, whatever we say. So normally we start with 40 watt quad and 40 watt cutting current, blended, we have the blended facilities. And then if it is working fine, if it is not working, you'll have to gradually increase 40 to 45, 45 to 50, sometimes you have to go up to 60. So it all depends on what your machine does best. So then have the smoke, the extraction, whatever, suction, if you have a special suction or whatever, any ordinary suction, attach that to the evacuation channel. So all these things you do in the next 2 minutes. So select your loop, connect the diathermy machine, set the diathermy cutting and quag setting, and number 3, connect the smoke extraction channel. And then, with your loop, you can make, it's just like the loop goes in, goes across the lesion, and then it has to come out. You can go from right side to left side, you can go from left side to right side, you can go from below above, but don't go from top to bottom. Because if you do that, number one, there will be bleeding and you will not be able to see what you are doing. And number two, the tissue will fall on your loop. And you will not be able to move your this. So excepting from top to bottom, you can go from any side. Whatever you think is convenient for you, whenever it's not touching the vagina. So that way, you make the pass. So you go in, go across and come out. Or go in, go up and come out. So that's how the loop moves. And once it is cut, you get the cone. It drops down. Then take it out and then take the ball diathermy and then coagulate the base of the area. So I'll just show you the video. So first thing is supposing you have detected a case of CIN. We always prefer to go for see and treat. That means you diagnose the case with colposcopy, and then if you find it is high-grade lesion, don't wait for a punch biopsy or anything, straight away go with a colposcopy. So you change your speculum. See, that blue speculum is being put in there. So that is the that's the insulated speculum with the smoke extraction channel, and this has to be added. I'll just go on, forwarding this. See, this is we take a spinal lid. Just take a 24G or 25G spinal needle and infiltrate, and this is an ordinary syringe. But then if you are lucky, you can get a dental syringe. The dental syringe is the best. Because the dental syringe you can reach inside. And see how the infiltration is done. You just select an area, push a little bit below the epithelium and push your injection. So that way you see, and that area becomes whitish. As you push in the adrenaline, it makes it avascular. So that's how you go all around. And that's how you infiltrate the cervix. See that? That area is becoming avascular. So you'll have to go on infiltrating all around. So it takes quite some time to do the infiltration. So once that is done, just keep the thing pressed with there will be some amount of bleeding. Just keep a cotton pledge pressed on that. And that's the time when you choose your loop, you refocus, make sure that
You can see properly. So in this particular machine, the best cutting and coagulation that was done with, was with 57, 53, whatever. So every machine is different. There cannot be any specific guideline for that. So now you have selected your loop and then try to see, make a dummy pass. Try to see which works best. If you want to go to right to left, whether you catch this thing. And then slowly and steadily go across. Use the full depth of the loop. Go across. When you are going in, you have a lot of control. But when you are coming out, you'll have to be much more, cautious about this thing. So you go in, go across and come out straight. And then use something to pick up that tissue. Right? So if you are doing really slowly, there is very little amount of bleeding. So just keep it pressed with a swab and then take the ball diathermy and just do this. So make it dry, use your ball to crack the base. See, there is no bleeding almost. Right? So this was done in one single pass because the lesion was not too big. But then you may have to make, this had multiple passes actually. Anyway. So now, there was some amount of lesion still left behind. So you can use the same loop to make another pass to cut that area which was left behind. So this was done in two passes. So now the whole area has been treated. Okay. So now there is another one, another thing. See again, you start, there was a small CIN3 lesion in the anterior leg. See, this is how you go on. You start from the bottom, go all around, and as you infiltrate, it becomes white, it swells up very nicely. And after we do the loop excision, we just allow the patient to sit for half an hour, 1 hour, and before letting her go home, somebody has to check whether she is having any bleeding or not. Sometimes, now the main problem with loop excision is bleeding, which is a major advantage of the ablative methods. The bleeding can be during surgery. You may have a lot of bleeding, and then you have to. It takes quite a lot of time to coagulate. You can have bleeding immediately after the procedure is done. So the patient is waiting in this thing, and then somebody comes and says, "Oh, the patient has started bleeding." So the patient has to be immediately called in, and then again that bleeding point has to be coagulated. But more importantly, the bleeding. Most of the patients, they come back after 5 days or 6 days with secondary hemorrhage. If the patient comes back with secondary hemorrhage, don't take the patient to OT. Just admit the patient and then tightly pack the vagina and leave the pack for next 24 hours. You can put the patient on antibiotics if she is not already on antibiotics. So take the pack out after 24 hours. Most of the cases, it will be controlled. The secondary hemorrhage will be controlled. After loop excision, we give the patients to analgesic for 3 days. So give some Crocin tablet thrice a day for 3 days, and also we give them antibiotics, a combination of Metrogyl and doxycycline. But then there is no definite proven benefit of antibiotics. So here you see we have. So now we have to decide. We go from left to right to left, which makes it more convenient, because the lateral vaginal wall, this is the something you'll have to protect. The lateral vaginal wall should not come in the way. And so once you decide, so the last one I did from right to left, this one I'm doing from left to right. Again, the principle is same. You just go full depth, go in, and then come out. Pick this up, and you can see that there is very little bleeding. If your electrostatical diatomy works well, and then you go really slowly across. Sometimes the loop gets stuck inside. Then you have to increase the diatomy. Here I am using a needle to coagulate the thing. It a very nice sparks it gives, and that coagulates very nicely. So this is what I was telling you. Sometimes if there is a big lesion, with a loop you cannot take out the whole lesion at one go. Always make the central pass first, and then there will be leftover lesions. You can make multiple passes. And after loop excision, what is most important is somebody should look at the biopsy. So after the follow-up instruction we give to the patient is come back after 1 month. But no colposcopy, no screening, nothing. That is the time when you should ask for any complication, which can be like, say, patient can be still bleeding. Sometimes the patient may have, infection. She will come with a lot of foul-smelling discharge and then pain abdomen, fever. So you'll have to treat her accordingly. So that's important, and that is the time when the biopsy report should be available. Within 1 month, the biopsy report is available. First and foremost thing to look at is whether there is any cancer in that specimen. Like the picture I showed you. There's every possibility that actually can be an invasive cancer. If it is an invasive cancer, loop excision is not the complete treatment. So you'll have to go for full treatment. And second thing we'll have to look for is whether the excision margins are negative or not. So supposing like this picture, this is the CIN. This side here is negative, but you can see it on the inner side, this is positive. So in that case, you may have to think about hysterectomy, or maybe another loop excision. Either things are acceptable. And lastly, the other thing is cold night conization. Before we used to do a lot of this, but now with the loop, we very rarely do it because it causes a lot of bleeding. So what we do is, cold night conization, ideally it should be done under regional or general anesthesia, because you need a wide exposure. So just catch hold of the cervix front and back. Make sure you don't catch hold of here, because this tissue has to come out. Then take 2 stitches, one on this side, another on this side. Just use zero vicryl and with a 40 millimeter needle, so that you can take a real deep stitch from this side to that this side, another from this side to that side, tight at the cervicovaginal junction. So the bleeding will be much less. And then with a knife, you make an incision all around. Once you make the incision, you pull the tissue towards you and go on cutting at the depth. And then after that, this thing is removed, then use your diathermy to coagulate the mess. So that's cold night conization. These days, the only indication for cold night conization possibly is microinvasive cancer. If you get a microinvasive cancer, one has to nicely see, look at the specimen. So that's why we prefer this thing. And lastly, hysterectomy. Hysterectomy is not required for CIN, not indicated for CIN, but supposing she has some other gynecological problem, and you have to go for a hysterectomy in any case. But before doing that, if I get time, I will show you pictures. Many of the high-grade CINs, they will extend into the vagina. So if you are doing hysterectomy, the conventional hysterectomy, and you are putting your clamps blindly from above, you may leave behind that CIN or vaginal intravitreal neoplasia, which will come back after maybe 7 years or 8 years with recurrent invasive disease. You know, many of our gynecologists will write stump carcinoma or vault carcinoma, whatever. It's nothing but hysterectomy was done, and at that time there was a pre-invasive disease which was undetected, and the patient went into invasive cancer.
So be careful when you do hysterectomy for CIN. Make sure you do colposcopy beforehand. Make sure you exclude that it is not extending into the vagina. Then only go for hysterectomy. Another major problem with hysterectomy is that I'm sure everybody has this experience. You have a case of dysplasia. You have done hysterectomy and you find invasive cancer. So you do a lot of disservice to the patient. Because number one, hysterectomy is not the treatment for cancer. Number two, you cannot give properly radiotherapy. For giving radiation therapy, you need the intact uterus. So that is why the hysterectomy is generally discouraged for treatment of precancerous disease.